If you have been searching about for information on the internet or in the medical journals or in the library about Parkinson's disease, there's a very good chance that one theme emerges, and that theme is Parkinson's disease is a illness or an imbalance of the neurological system. If you've had an opportunity to begin reading my book, Road to Recovery from Parkinson's Disease, you are now well aware that this is not my orientation. Clearly, neurological imbalances are a piece of what is happening with the symptoms of Parkinson's, but in my opinion, it is a whole system challenge. There are imbalances throughout the body, and there are disconnections that are creating the neurological log jams. I believe that the symptoms of Parkinson's are a function of digestive anomalies, immune challenges, lymphatic clogs, including issues with elimination organs such as the kidneys, the liver, the pancreas, the gallbladder, etc., etc. I think that the symptoms of Parkinson's are in part connected to the master control system that is used by the body to regulate water, blood pressure, digestion, etc., etc. Those organs in our brain that are called the hypothalamus and the pineal gland. I believe that the symptoms of Parkinson's are in part a function of the endocrine system, that system that is used by the body to balance the some 40 give or less hormones that are delicately balanced by the body in order for us to maintain harmony and wellness. And of course, neurologically speaking, our cardiac system also has a profound influence. So you see, my view is that the symptoms are a function of a disconnection that is present among between those systems that I've just described in the body. And once those connections are made, balance unfolds beautifully. I'm going to today invite you to go through a guided meditation that considers one possibility of how you might be able to connect all of these disconnections that are present in your physical body that are creating whatever symptoms you may be experiencing today and in the moment. To be sure, it's possible to go directly to those systems, but I'm going to go at this meditation this week in a very, very different way. I'm going to go externally, and first what I'd like to do is to give you an explanation of an experience that I had when I visited Nashville, Tennessee just last month and had the opportunity to get a tour of Studio B, RCA's studio, now actually a museum, where Elvis Presley and many other very famous country music and jazz and hard rock stars recorded their famous hits and tunes. So first I want to talk about what I learned about Elvis Presley and what he did and how he did it. And then I'm going to spin everyone through a guided meditation off of that inspiration. I, for one, oftentimes held the belief that Elvis Presley was a fluke. I suppose there was a bit of jealousy involved because clearly he was a huge, huge hit and was an instant success. And so I suppose there's a bit of wonderment about how one person could make all of that happen so quickly. And so I suppose there was partly a judgment of myself about, well, why couldn't I do what Elvis Presley had done so effortlessly? That opinion changed when I had an opportunity to experience a tour of Studio B in Nashville, Tennessee, because I learned a great deal about who Elvis Presley really was. And what I want to say is he had a magical gift of being able to create a sound through a record that has permanence throughout all space and time. Let me explain exactly what Elvis would do when he would go to his recording studio in Nashville. He would get into his gold Cadillac. It was, of course, driven by a chauffeur. And they would go from Memphis, Tennessee, where Graceland was, where he lived, to Nashville, which was a couple of hour, give or take, drive. If he stopped on the way, of course, it was going to take 3 or 4 hours. And he would arrive when he arrived. Elvis obviously had an idea of what song or songs he was going to record. There was music written. He would have already created that before he arrived. There were musicians that were present and waiting for him. There were all of the staff, the people who were in the sound booth, and the administrators who were there to be able to facilitate the creation of this particular song or set of songs on this particular day. So what did Elvis do when he actually arrived at Studio B? Did he simply go in and casually, with an air of arrogance and superiority, nod to a few people in the sound booth and have some considerable distance among all of the staff who were present there to be able to support his work, perhaps say a few words to the musicians and then literally start practicing their song? And the answer is no, that's not what he did at all. When he actually arrived at Studio B for each recording session, Elvis spent a great deal of time connecting with each and every individual who was present there to create the song that he was there to record. They sat around the piano, and he would oftentimes play, and they would sing gospel songs. Had nothing to do with what they were actually going to record. They'd sing gospel songs. He'd call out for fast food, I think, and they would bring in fried chicken or whatever might have been handy, and everybody would chow down and fill up and tell stories and have a good time and literally connect. Sometimes this would go on all night long. It looked like nothing was happening. It looked like he was goofing off. It looked like, in fact, if you were an outside observer, you would probably think, who is this guy? What is he really doing? Why isn't he getting to the cusp of what he's here for? Why doesn't he just record the friggin' song? And of course, the reality is that what Elvis was doing was what we don't actually find today. He was connecting with each and every individual who was present to actually create the sound that they were about to create. So he energetically connected, and around the table and singing those gospel songs weren't just the musicians. Everyone was present. The people in the sound booth, the people who handled the machines that had to be controlled when he was actually doing the work, the helpers, the janitors. It didn't matter who was there. Everyone was around the piano, hanging out, doing whatever, no time schedule, and literally doing what was necessary to create this energetic wholeness, this template that was necessary in order to create the magic that we know today as the music of Elvis Presley. His music is played as much today as it was when it first was created. And it is timeless because it has this energetic template, this template of connection, his connection with each and every musician who was present to create the magic that they created. So imagine, see all of the people who are present there in Studio B with Elvis whenever he would go, and imagine what that scene was like. Some of his biggest hits weren't recorded until 5 or 6 in the morning, right when the sun was coming up. They spent all night long literally messing around, hanging up, perhaps starting with some of the practice, but they didn't actually put it down until really wee early hours of the morning. That's not how music is created today. Today, what happens is each artist comes in and they literally record whatever piece of the record they're there to record. So it might be that there is a guitarist who's located in Oregon who sends in a tape of the guitar support for a singer who records their piece of the song in New York, New York. There may be a drummer who records the drum part, and the drummer is in Alabama. There may be a violinist who is in Chicago, Illinois, and they basically record their piece and they ship it over through email so that all of those are literally mastered together in separate tracks. And that's what creates the music that we hear today. It's that the music is made in a very cost-effective way, obviously. And so very rarely do you have groups such as the Beatles or Elvis Presley who are actually united together in being able to create what they're actually creating. I submit to you that I believe it's time for music to be made the way it was made now 40 or 50 years ago. That creates that energetic stamp of connection among all who were present to create that magic. So let's do that today. Let's literally create a song in our imaginations just the way Elvis would have done it, so that we're able to connect with others externally. And of course, let me be clear, the idea of this is that in so doing this particular task, you are also connecting with all of those systems internally within your particular body. So let's now proceed with the meditation. And I am well aware that some of you who are listening to this meditation are musicians. You may, in fact, be very well-known musicians, and so this particular meditation is going to be joyous for you. Others of you listening to this are going to probably feel like, well, it's time for me to stop this because I've never played an instrument in my life, and I couldn't imagine what it would be like to actually be a musician. Cast aside that thought form. It's not true. You can literally create the music in your imagination by playing an instrument or several instruments in what we are about to do. So embrace the challenge, and the challenge is to establish a new connection that winds up being the powerful foundation for your return to full health and wellness. So settle in. What we're now going to do is to shift from this brief explanation of what this is really all about and the reason why I'm doing this to being able to offer you a guided visualization that will, in essence, connect all the dots, connect all of the systems internally that our body needs to be able to come back into full balance. And we're going to do that externally through this particular exercise. So take just a nice, slow, effortless breath, and let's switch gears instead of listening now to the content and the mental understanding of what this is about. We're going to now go into a very, very different space. I now invite you to go into your own recording studio. Obviously, your studio can look however you would like it to look, as large or as small as feels most comfortable for you. Place in your recording studio whatever instruments need to be present in order to be able to create the music that you are about to create. There's likely going to be a control room with a big glass divider. So create that now in your imagination as well, with all of the new technology that's necessary to be able to record what you are about to record, using the instrument, which may be your voice, or it may be a physical instrument. For you now, I invite you to think of a song that you would like to record. This may be a song that you have heard previously and always loved. This may be a piece of music that helps your heart open to yourself and to others, and so you love to listen to this particular music. Could be classical, could be blues, could be rock, could be any form of music. The key is to identify a song that speaks to your heart. Could be 100 bottles of beer on the wall. I'm not talking about anything fancy here, folks. It could be something very simple or something very intricate. Something, some piece, some music that truly speaks to your heart and your soul. Those of you who are musicians may have a song that you have been tinkering with that you'd like to put on a record. You might want to bring that out and work with that in this meditation as well. It might be you've been hearing a tune and don't know where it comes from. You might want to record the tune in your imagination today. The song, then, you see, that you're about to record can come from anywhere. Or it may come from simply starting and seeing what it is that you create. So you may have no predisposed notion about what you're about to create in your imagination. The next challenge I have for you is to choose an instrument. The instrument may be your voice, of course, or the instrument may be something physical, like a piano, a guitar, a violin, a cello, percussion perhaps. There are obviously many, many instruments that are possibilities, including flutes and clarinets and French horns and tubas and you name it. Whatever happens to be your most delightful idea of what you would like to play in your imagination today, choose that instrument now. You might want to choose two if you'd like, because you can obviously always play one instrument and then switch to the other, as oftentimes you see famous musicians do. So find an instrument in your imagination, whatever that is, whatever instrument is right for you, whatever instrument you've always wanted to play but have never been able to learn, that would be a good one to choose. Find an instrument, see it, put it into your recording studio now. If it's necessary to physically put it into the recording studio, that is, if you're not going to actually use your voice as your instrument. If you need to bring music with you to this recording studio, then please bring music. A song that's already been written. It would probably be a good idea to have music for you and all of the others that are about to record this on the record. See the studio now. See the colors on the wall. Elvis liked to have colored lights, so what you saw on the top of his studio were red light bulbs and blue light bulbs in all of the lights that were sprinkled all over the ceiling of the particular recording studio that he used, Studio B in Nashville, Tennessee. You might want to put pictures on the wall. You might want to put windows in your studio so you can see outside. And of course, your studio, you know, can actually be anywhere. It can be out in the woods, or it can be in a large city like Nashville. Make your studio real now in your imagination. This is your recording studio, so you can make it however you would like to create it in your imagination. You might see it. You might just have a sense of what it is. Hear the sounds in the studio now, for you are physically present in your studio, just like Elvis was when he first arrived. And now, it's important for you to begin to select individuals who are going to back you up in the recording of the song that you are about to record. The other musicians that will be present with you may be people known to you or not known to you. They may be very famous in their own right. You can call them in to help you now, even if you've never met them. Or you might want to invite in friends. And by the way, the friends don't need to be able to play these instruments either, because in your imagination, you can equip them with all the skill that they need to be able to play the instrument you are about to give to them. So bring in three other individuals to your recording studio. Three persons, men or women, known or unknown to you personally. Invite those three individuals to be in the studio now with you. Assign to each individual an instrument if they don't yet have an instrument, or the instrument is not one that they obviously know well how to play. There are now four of you in this recording studio, this studio of your imagination, about to hang out. See now, all of the other support staff that are present here with you to record this hit song. There are many technicians. See them now. And gather them together in the main room of your recording studio. Bring everyone present in the room who is necessary and needed to be able to put your music onto a recording now. Give everybody chairs or lounges or comfortable places to sit. Hang out now with everyone, acknowledging that there is no hierarchy here, that what you're about to create is going to be a function of each and every individual's contribution, and each individual's contribution is equal to the overall song that you are about to create, a song that will last into the eternity of your imagination. Hang out with everyone now in this room, just as Elvis did. Do you need to eat anything? Need to start your digestive systems? Then order some food in. Order whatever feels like it would be good to eat. Order it in and have it delivered now. See everybody and connect everybody who is present with you now. And let whatever needs to unfold. Perhaps stories need to be told. Acquaintances need to be renewed. Perhaps you want to spend some time with a famous musician that you've actually never met. You might want to sit around the piano, just as Elvis did, and begin to sing some songs, some hymnals, some rock, some country, some gospels. Do that now, together with everyone who is gathered present, to create the song you are about to record. Connect. See each individual who is present now. Feel each person who is present now to be with you on this journey of recording your masterpiece. Hear the sounds, hear the voices, hear the laughter. Feel the happiness, the glee, the joy, the anticipation of about what is to be done together. Everyone who is present on this day, at this time, in this place of your imagination. No one is excluded. Who is going to play a role in this recording, in this gathering? What do you need to do together to create wholeness, to create connection? Do it now. Are you feeling any distance from any of the individuals in the room? Remove whatever block may be separating you from them now and connect with them at the deepest place. Perhaps there's a history there, something untoward that might have happened recently or long ago. Cast that aside now. And connect with that most divine soul now, who is present with you, to create the song of your dreams. connecting with all of who you are, mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually, with each and every individual who you have gathered together to make magic today. Feel the wholeness. Feel the connectedness with everyone who is present with you now. Look at each person. Thank them for being there for you. For you are not alone in what you are about to do. It's now time, after hanging out for a while and creating an energy that will sustain your song into eternity, to invite each of the musicians who are present to go into a place of the room that is separated by walls. Because what you'd like to be able to do is to be able to isolate what it is that they actually play. That's the way it was done when Elvis recorded his music. Otherwise, everything kind of runs together. So you see, it's important for each individual to be individuated, to be who they are, but also to be a part of the wholeness of what is about to be created. So invite each person to go into one corner of the room or another with the wall separators so that their sound is not going to cross over to the sound of the person next to them. And place yourself in the room wherever it feels most comfortable, for you are the star artist. Getting yourself set, inviting all of the technicians to go now into the control room, all of the support people to be in the places where they need to be in order for this event now to unfold. There's no need for a practice of this particular song, for you see in your imagination, once you start, the sound will unfold majestically. Get set. Take one slow, easy breath as you invite all of the other musicians present to do the same. And now, in your imagination, as you are connected with each and every individual who is present with you now, today, in this place, at this hour, in your imagination, and now, allow your song to be recorded. Start in your heart now. And as you play along with others, feel the sense of connectedness, the balance, the harmony, the beauty of what is connected. Hear the song as it is now recorded in your imagination. No need to stop, for if you would like any of the players to make adjustments, just do that telepathically. connected, whole, in balance, in perfect harmony. A place where no symptoms are possible. A place where all creation is possible. Feel the music in your heart and in your soul. Feel the preciousness of the connection to each and every person who is present with you now in this recording studio, the musicians, the support staff, the technicians. Surround all of who is present in gold light as you hear the beauty unfold of the sound that you are now creating, for this is medicine to your soul. In this place of connectedness, know that all systems in your body are connected. Know that this is the place where balance happens. This is the place where a return to full health and wellness will unfold now. May you now, in your imagination, hear your sound being played throughout the week. For this is music medicine that will have a profound impact on your recovery. You are creating the frequencies that your body is asking for to heal and to come back into full balance. If you are so motivated, and especially if you are a musician, feel free to put onto a record a second or a third or a fourth song with those who are gathered here with you now, present, to create magic in your heart and in your soul. And if you are a musician, know that this also can become real, that you can also create this sound that, just like Elvis Presley, can become music for all of eternity, because it is music that represents the connection we have to each and every person on earth. It is said that we are one. When that place is known, symptoms dissolve. May you have a delightful time this week listening to the music that you are creating for yourself. Notice what happens to your symptoms. I am guessing you will be quite amazed how sounds of your imagination can have such a profound impact. Because you see, they allow the body to connect all of those systems that need to be connected. The neurological, the digestive, the immune, the lymphatic, the master control system of the brain, the endocrine system, the cardiac system, all of those come into full balance when that sense of connectedness and wholeness is experienced throughout every cell of your body. May the connections that you make this week be through the sounds that you hear. And if any of you actually create the song that you have just imagined, please email it to me so I can share it to the many, many listeners of Parkinson's Recovery. It has been a privilege and an honor. This is Robert Rogers, and this is, of course, Parkinson's Recovery.